Very good afternoon to all our listeners. I would like to welcome all of us. I would like to welcome all of you to our weekly and very important radio program, which deals with election preparedness. It is my vote, my choice, as our very important discussion on elections. It involves discussions, explanations, descriptions, and even definitions of some important terms, especially when it comes to the democratic process and the question of elections, especially in the Namibian context. We are closing the 7th edition today, and I would like to call on the listeners, if you may, to be on reserve and just call the program 0832888401. 0832888401 is the number in studio, and be free to call in the program and air your views. You may want to ask questions. You may want to just make a contribution concerning elections in the elections, especially in the upcoming regional and local authorities election. Number one, we have to understand in the Namibian context that we have to understand the concept that Namibia has pillars of the government and also levels of the government. We are waiting for the visitors to come in studio, and I will indeed introduce them or ask them to introduce themselves as we close and talk about levels of government and importance of participation in elections by the citizens. In the meantime, let's go to the marketplace as we wait for our visitors.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any other.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doini nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka okone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijewa ili nawa. Ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onoreta tuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Very good afternoon and welcome back to our program. And as I have promised, we were going to have a visitor, not a very unusual visitor though, and it's not the first time, but we will be concluding our 7th edition program on elections. We had quite a number of months discussing democracy, election-related matters. And we had no choice but also just to make sure that we have all these matters discussed until the upcoming regional and local authorities election. Elections are the process by which members of the community or country choose representatives to hold positions at various levels of the government. That one we keep saying over and over until it registers in our minds. Citizens who are 18 years and above or older may vote for representatives at the various levels of government, namely the president, the national assembly, regional councils, and local authority councils. However, there is additional residency requirement for voting at local level. The right to vote is guaranteed by the Constitution. So that is age-wise, 18 and above, across the board, we must all vote. But when it comes to who should hold the position, it should be every citizen aged 21 or older has the constitutional right to be elected to public office, with one exception. A person who wants to be elected as president must be a citizen of Namibia by birth or descent and must be over the age of 35. So those are the concerns about the age. And the regular elections ensure that government is answerable to the people. And if the government does not perform to the satisfaction of the voters, they can vote for a different political party or a different candidate in the next election, resulting in the ousting of the non-performing either a political party or an elected official. So voting is done in secret. We will be talking about the genuineness of election today as we conclude. It's done in secret so that no one can intimidate voters or victimize them for the choices they have made. Namibia originally used paper ballot papers, but there was also a problem of electoral, what's this, EVM, electronic voters machine, which were declared unconstitutional by the competent court in Namibia. And for that reason, we are back to the papers, to the ballot papers, no longer electronic voters machine. So, if this is the case, we shall be talking about some concepts, and also we shall be talking about the models on genuine elections, which we have been going through in details, and today I would like to summarize what are the models of a genuine election, and then the concepts of democratic processes in which elections are a key and a cornerstone. But before we do that, I would like to welcome our visitor, Mr. Dennis Daire, from the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung or Foundation here in Windhoek, who has been very instrumental in making sure that we have discussions and programs like this aimed at community dialogue. And we appreciate those who have used the radio and their time to call in the program, air their views, ask their questions, and also simply just to add to the conversation. And our conversations are always open. We do not limit. Even today, if there's anyone who may want to participate, please feel free and I will share the number, and then you can call in the program and ask us questions or simply just speak your mind. Welcome, Dennis, to the program. And please introduce yourself and the visitor you come with.
Thank you very much, Reverend. Good afternoon to you and good afternoon to the listeners. My name is Dennis Daire. I'm a senior program manager for the Konrad Adenauer Foundation, Namibia and Angola office. And this afternoon, I'm joined by my colleague, Fikameni, Deshi Fikameni. And yes, she can introduce herself, please. Deshi.
Good afternoon, listeners. You're listening to Ndeshi Fikameni. I'm a program assistant at the Konrad Adenauer Foundation Namibia Angola office.
Thank you very much. Dennis, would you like just to say a bit of the background of Konrad Adenauer Foundation and a bit of the work that you do in Namibia, especially when it comes to democratic processes, civil participation, and so on?
Yes, the Konrad Adenauer Foundation is a German political foundation, international political foundation. It's a global think tank, in summary, that has got more than 100 offices. In Africa, we have got plus minus more than 15 offices. And in Namibia and Angola, we focus more on areas of rule of law, human rights, strengthening democracy, human rights, and we are also into aspects of research and publications, and also project implementation. And we also work with, maybe to mention one or two, people in areas with people with disabilities, with government institutions, private institutions, and also with women, the youth, SMEs, small to medium enterprises. So it's quite a host of activities, but it's all designed towards contribute to the national discourse on strengthen the Namibian democratic space.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that introduction. And in your own personal experience, I know that as a legal person, you understand this whole issue of constitutional democracy, which is the case in the Namibian setup, that the people of Namibia are sovereign. And as much as we try even to put this in the local languages, it becomes even more harder for people to understand what it means that they are actually the bosses. It's not the other way around.
Mm.
How do you encourage the Namibian people before we get into election needs to be one. People need to understand that it's about them. It is them who should be the bosses, who should be the determining factor, actually.
Mm.
I remember being called by a particular media outlet and they asked me, what do you think the Christians must do, must contribute, and so on. I said, the Constitution doesn't ask the government to consult Christian documents and so on. that was my legal.
Yeah.
But please go on to say, people of Namibia are the backbone. And why we are concerned that they must vote, they must participate.
Mm.
Not just in vote, they must participate because they are the people.
Mm. I think I should take the people a little bit backwards. Remember that Namibia gained independence in 1990 after many years of fighting for independence.
Yeah.
And in 1989, going into 1990, when the constitution was agreed, the country agree on a framework called the constitutions to be the supreme law in terms of the Article 1, Subsection 6. And this is the supreme law that gives us the guidance in the country to say any other law in the country must actually be in conformity with the constitution. And then that constitution gave the people the power. If you look at Article 1, Subsection 2, it talks about the people having the power. The power shall be with the people of Namibia, who shall exercise their democratic rights through the institutions of the state. And when you look at Article 17 also, it gives you again power to participate and to freely give you the choice to freely participate in election in choosing your leaders. So the people are the central. And by that background, it means that once you have that opportunity, and something we shouldn't forget is the fact that in Namibia, we have an opportunity to freely and independently participate in elections. This is something that in other African countries, people are fighting for, to have that opportunity. So I really want to encourage all Namibians that have turned at the age of 18 and above to really participate in the upcoming elections, to go out and stand in the queues and make their voices heard, make their choices heard, because you cannot only be raising issues from far. You need to be in the central and to say that I want this person to be the representative, to be the one speaking on my behalf, to be the one listening for me, to be the one channeling the communication between myself as a citizen and the responsible ministries and the responsible institutions, and also channeling information from those institutions back, a transmission belt, in other words. So the people are really the central, and I think we need to take this very seriously. And I think speaking in particular to the young people, they really need to understand that democracy is good as a concept, but without people participating in it and adding value to that process, it will not be as effective as it should be. And I think it's a call to all of us as Namibians to really go out. We have an opportunity that people in other countries don't have, to go out and to vote and make voices heard.
Fantastic. And I will be going through the website of the Electoral Commission. It just occurred to my mind now that historically we had very low voter turnout during the regional and local authorities election, sometimes went as far as below 40, which is very worrying, because if you have only about 36% of the total voters voting, it means that that is illegitimate, if the legal language is to be properly and technically applied. Nevertheless, those are the people who have voted. But if the majority didn't vote, it means that we have a serious problem.
Mm.
And we don't want this repetition of people saying, we are not going to vote because we don't know these councillors. When they vote, they forget about us and so forth and so on. Why don't you vote for a change?
Mm.
That's why you have what we call multi-party democracy. You have so many political parties, many organizations, and you also have independent candidates. Why don't you vote for something different? Maybe it is going to be different. So I don't know what language we should be using so that our people, especially the young people, must understand that the power is actually in their hands. Mm. If they cannot use this power, we will be governed by the minority because the majority refuse to participate. Mm. And it is going to be a sad day when it is the minority who are governing while the majority are keeping quiet. Mm. And they should have made a difference. Mm. But in the meantime, let me just chat a bit about the regional and regional councils and local authority elections before we go into the genuineness of these things. Regional councils elections is an election process in which citizens elect their representatives in which they reside, okay, or in constituencies or in the regions in which they reside, known as regional councillors. And these elections are held every 5 years as well. And this year, we have come to the end of that previous 5 years, and we are going to pick up a new 5 year. And regional councils are the link between the central government and the citizens in the regions, and are responsible for spearheading development in the constituencies in which they are elected to serve. So Namibia has 14 regions and 121 constituencies. I remember in one of the programs I was able to give the names of the regions, the central offices or the seats of these offices, how many constituencies, their names, and so forth and so on. 14 regions, 121 constituencies, which means we have about 122 vacancy on the 26th of November. We have no councillor on that day. And we need to install a councillor, a new one, or whatever it means, on that particular day. And it is very important to understand that we are not going to, in Oshiwambo, the mindset is as if we must confirm someone in that position. It's not about confirming someone. Consider the office vacant, and you are given a pool of people, and out of these people, you pick one. We don't care that person was in that position already or not. What we want people to understand is that there is a choice to be made, and choose a particular person to fill that particular office. And as far as the regional councils are concerned, they are conducted according to the majoritarian or first past the post-election system, as they say. And in this system, the candidate with most votes wins the elections. So we are not going to, in other words, in the regional councils, candidates, no matter they were fielded by their political parties or they came as independent candidates supported by the local people, they will be voted on individual basis, just like you are voting for a president. The party will bring someone, but we will vote for that person, not really for the party. We will vote for that particular person. It is another thing for the party to say, vote for my candidate and so on. But for voters, we only see candidates. We don't see who comes from which party or whatever. We must see the candidates. The same way we see candidates in the regional councils. And whoever gets the majority, then that person becomes the regional council. And out of the regional councils in each of the region, three of them shall be elected by their colleagues or by their peers to serve in the second house of parliament called the National Council, which is 42 total members. So when you vote, make sure you understand the quality that we need, because we only, constitutionally, we only talk about a person must be a Namibian citizen, must be a registered voter, must be a resident in that particular constituency. But please take note that there are other qualifications that, or characters that are needed for a person to serve as an intermediary between the people and the central government, and a person who is qualified to become a member of the National Council. In other words, is qualified to become a member of the legislation. So sometimes everyone wants to be the councillor. I remember I was responding to these questions of the qualities, and they say the political parties have issues also to deal with, because you have good agitators, good political agitators and mobilizers, and they will bring as many people as possible to the party, but they are worse in terms of the office. So those who are good at the office, they are not good at the agitation. And therefore, the tension is always like this. You know, I was working very hard. These people, I brought many people to the party. Now they didn't vote for me. Then the tension remains. Or those who are technically advantaged, they will say, these people, they only vote for stupid people to be the councillors. They leave us, they don't want to use us. So it's always that particular problem. But we must understand these people are there to be the link between central government and the citizens in those regions, in those constituencies. They are responsible to spearhead community development in those constituencies when they are elected, and they are there also to be potential candidates for National Council. And one of the problems in politics everywhere is when you have wrong people in the legislature. If they cannot read, if they don't understand the legal processes, how can they legislate? And this is the problem I think we are sitting with, especially West in Africa, because some guys, they go to parliament and they have never read a law in their life. They have never sat in a conversation about how laws are drafted and so on. That's why you are hearing the president complaining that, since this new parliament was inaugurated.
Hi, just a very important message for everyone who uses Gmail. It turns out that you're automatically opted in for Gmail.
Right, I apologize there. Something is happening behind the scene and something just played itself. Now, what do you think about all these qualities, the type of people we need, potential to serve in the National Council? As I was just trying to talk about the president complaining that apart from budget, there was no single law passed in parliament. What could be the reason? And nobody's telling us the reason other than the political polemic that, no, it is about to jeopardize the functions of the state. Is that true, maybe, or what is the problem? Could it be some other factors as well? And then we have what we call the local authorities. Again, just an overview. Local authorities elections is an election process in which citizens elect representatives in local authority areas in which they reside, known as local authority councillors. These are elections, or these elections are held every 5 years as well, together with the regional councils I mentioned. And local authority councillors are elected to serve the people in various local authorities, such as village councils, town councils, and municipalities, according to the classifications. And then local authorities elections are conducted in terms of proportional representation system. The seats in the local authority council are located in proportion to the number of votes received per political party, organization, or association. The more votes they receive by the more votes received by political party, organization, or association contesting the election, the more seats it will receive. In the local authorities election, registered voters vote for the political party, organizations or associations of their choice, who then appoint representatives for 5 years to the local authorities council. They vote in the local authority in which they are registered. Local authorities councillors are responsible for serving their residents by maintaining development and catering for their community and other community needs. Namibia has about 59 local authorities, which comprise of municipalities type 1 or type 2, is determined by the geographical size, town councils, and village councils. So you have type 1 municipalities or type 2 municipalities, and then town councils, and then village councils. Now, all these people must be elected, but with regard to the local authorities election, we don't vote for individual person. We vote for the organization or for the association or for the political party. It is the party that must give us, or organization or association, who must give us the names of people. And the more you vote for this particular party or organization or association, the more you give them the seats to be in the local authorities. So it is not an individual person, unlike the regional councils. And if you compare between the national elections and the regional local authorities elections, the presidential candidates and the regional council candidates, those are individuals who must be picked from wherever and through however to become candidates, and we vote for a particular person, no matter there is a political party behind them or whatever. It is the candidate. National Assembly, local authorities elections, we vote for organizations or political parties or associations. And then it will now come to the political parties, associations, organizations who are going to give us candidates to make sure that they have done a thorough job and they give us people who could do the job better than anyone else. Unlike what I have mentioned, to give us just a person because this person is very loud, is very loyal, he brings people and so on, but understand zero when it comes to local authority leadership or management or administration or town planning or town management, economic development, community development. We don't want people who have no knowledge. And again, constituencies, when it comes to the regional councils, constituencies are different from one to another. Some are deeply rural. Some are specially urban. Some are agricultural. Some are something else. So how do we make sure that we have people who understand the demographic, geographic, and all features? Who are those people, so that we don't just pick someone like Lucas Katenda, who was never born in the thick forest of Ovamboland. I was not exposed to areas like Okongo, for instance, or Ngodi Nehari and Pingana constituents, where you only have all these people taking care of their animals and so on and so on. There are no roads. I have no experience as much as some people do. How do we make sure that we don't take right people to the wrong places, or wrong people to the right places? How do we make sure we do the best that we can? And I am sure that as a community leader that you have been, you have been engaging with people of different backgrounds and working on areas like this. What kind of advice do you see in terms of composition, the regional council and the local authorities council. Either way.
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think this is something that really the community, because the community knows their people very well. These people that are campaigning, these are people who live among themselves. They live among the community. They know the community and the community knows them. So the community are best and well suited to actually know and determine to say that if we elect this person, we are likely to get this outcome. Because they know their strength, they know their weaknesses. I can give you a simple example. If you vote for somebody who, for instance, cannot read, what kind of outcome would you expect? Or what is the value of the outcome that you are likely to get? These are some of the critical questions that community members also need to really and deeply think about the kind of candidates they are going to vote for. Because the community knows the challenges they are going through. They know the shortcomings they are facing. For instance, you have got challenges with roads, communication, school infrastructures, access to health facilities, and so on. But you need to make sure that the person you are going to vote for is somebody who is going to add value in terms of making sure that the issues and challenges that you are facing are likely to be addressed or to be heard by the right institutions. And that information from also from the institutions of government and other places is likely to reach you. So we are talking about access to information, and access to information is really important, not only for decision making, for electing leaders, but also for decision making in terms of you accessing government services, and also for the government getting information about the challenges on the ground. So you really want to make sure that the person you are going to vote is the right person, is the right candidate. And remember that also this is not like a permanent position. It's only for 5 years. So if you vote well, you are likely to have some challenges addressed within the period of 5 years. And if you have your challenges the same as from when you have elected as to when the person is leaving office, that is already an indication that your choice at the beginning actually will tell you whether you have made the right choice or not. So there is a lot of thinking in terms of the candidate. There is also a lot of thinking that needs to go in terms of what the community really need and also where the community needs to get to, because I think it's not only about staying at the same level, village level. You want to move to a town level as well. You want to go up higher. So I think it's a discussion also that the people within a community need to have, and also to come to a certain level of understanding and conclusion to say that I think we need this. And I think in the upcoming election, are we happy with the status quo or do we go for something else? I think this is a discussion that is worth having.
Very good. And I like it to state, as you have mentioned, that it is the people who must indicate we want this type of a person. And one problem I also experience, I think, is these people are not visible. The candidates, quite frankly, are not visible. Few of them are. A number of them are still hiding behind their political parties or organizations, and they will say that they wait for the national leaders to come and introduce them. You are a candidate in a particular constituency and you cannot go out to people and be visible. You wait for heavy weights from your main mother body to come and say, vote for our candidate. Why are you not saying vote for me? Because you are the person people must know and you must really be visible. Visibility is part of the game. You cannot apologize for saying I am the right person because this is really your work. The pamphlets and flyers, the photo and the name. That's all. The photo and the name. The photo and the name. For me, that's insufficient. I don't know who are these people. How can I just vote for the photo? I want to see the person. Use the social media. Use the WhatsApp. reach out to people. It is your obligation to do so. But some people, I think they are a bit shy to say, vote for me.
Mm.
But it is required by law. It is required in terms of democratic processes for a candidate to claim even credit. If you have done something in the community, say it. I have done so and so and so. Can't you see? Vote for me. And we still have people afraid of.
Yes, and I think that is critical for the candidate to actually communicate with the constituents to say that what is my agenda? What am I going to add? And how am I going to make your life different? And why should you vote for me? And I think you need to really convince the people. And I think people also need to understand that the construct of society today is completely different. You are leading a society that is informed. People that are dealing with information is easily accessible. So people are able to really get the information, sometimes even likely before yourself. So this, and you also as a candidate need to be able to have the right qualities to be able to bridge the gap between the older generation and the young generation. You should be able and have easy way of understanding to articulate issues at the level of the youth. When you talk about digital email, digital society, when you talk about artificial intelligence, and then you should also be able to easily have a conversation with the older generation to say that these are the issues that are more important to us. And then you should have the kind of understanding and quality to be able to bring the two sides together in a more cohesive way. So I think this is what the society and the people are looking for. I think society is moving away from the side where people will vote you simply because of loyalty. They want to hear what are you able to deliver, how you're able to advocate for issues. They want to know your opinion on maybe one or two issues just to test your understanding and your ability to be able to articulate issues. Because when you, for instance, in the end get elected in the National Council or to represent them, you need to be able to read the laws, you need to be able to research, you need to be able to argue, you need to be able to bring issues from elsewhere and show some best practices and so on. So there is actually a lot that is required.
Very good. Ndeshi, do you want to say something about the qualities that we need and the visibility of our candidates other than the photo and the name on the flyer? We want to see more.
Yes.
In terms of what they can really offer. I used to teach them that some of the people can't even buy a box of pencils for grade one at their local school, just for grade one teachers, I mean learners, and go to teacher and say, teacher, I, out of my budget, I had a bit of money, I bought this box of pencils for the learners.
Yes, I totally agree. I think the photo and what we currently have is not enough. It would be good to see maybe a short biography of, and just a track record of what has this candidate done in the past, just to really motivate why we should vote for these candidates.
Very true. And I keep also teaching people that in the world of this instant information, and communication devices.
Yeah.
You can have your own channel and advertise yourself. People are still waiting for the traditional media to capture them. The media is not coming to me. These people are not. But you can do these things yourself. Have someone out of your constituency, volunteer maybe, when you are going out to people, when you are doing something, let the people capture those moments.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to share with the constituency so that we know what's going on. Despite this must be a genuine endeavors, obviously it must not be just a PR thing.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a genuine endeavors. So we are coming down, colleagues, to something we call good governance and accountability in terms of democracy. Good governance and accountability are principles whose application is essential to country achieving genuine democracy. Other than talking about qualities and so on, we are talking about elections. Our main point is to entrench the idea of voting, and that voting must bring out the desired result in any given country and in the Namibian context in particular. How do we make sure that the elections are not there just to rubber stamp wrong people in the position, but elections should be the process by which even the participants are shivering and trembling because they know the Namibian people are going to take a serious action for or against them. So how do we understand this concept? How do we apply the concept as I just read? And let me read it again. Good governance and accountability are principles whose application, if we apply, is essential to a country achieving genuine democracy and development. What is genuine democracy? What is genuine democracy? And the reason why I'm saying this, as you have mentioned, Dennis, that we have come really a long way. We have come from an era where there were no cell phones, no social media, and where people were euphoric to come out of colonial and the conflicts that were all over the place. And people were very yes men, if you like, in the 90s, towards early 2000s. People were still saying, yes, whatever comes, yes. And we must not vote for change because the war is coming back or things like that. That is no longer working. When people were criticized by civil society, by things like media, it was always, where were you when we were fighting? Where were you and so on? That language has completely vanished. Now the challenge is Windhoek, the city of Windhoek, for instance. Can we evaluate? Because some people want to say, now, can you see? This is the problem. Instead of working in the interest of the people in the city of Windhoek, we don't care where you come from in terms of political parties, organizations. As long as there is people of Windhoek to be served. And some people are saying we don't need what we have experienced. We need something different. In other words, there must be a monopoly of one party over others, irrespective of which party is that. Is it really a danger when we have people from that party, that organization, and form the local authority? And this is a challenge I think we are going to face. And I would like to hear your views. How do we make sure that it is genuine democracy? Genuine democracy means SWAPO has a candidate, PDM has a candidate, IPC has a candidate, NUTO has a candidate, SWANO has a candidate, AR has a candidate. We form the council. Is that dangerous?
Just because before I come to that question, you raised a number of issues, I think, that are so very valid. And I think one of them is the fact that, you know, you mentioned the fact that a society evolve or move forward. Things are changing. And societal expectations or people's expectations from their leaders are also changing. And I think this is what the leaders need to realize, that the kind of society that you are facing right now is not a society where you're going to tell them anything you want them to believe and they believe you. They will fact check whether what you said is founded in facts. So this is an awareness also on the part of leadership to know that we need to really think about the kind of message that we need to share with the people. What kind of message do we really want to share with the people? Coming to the second part of your question, I think this is coalition.
Yeah.
And when you talk about coalition, I think it's important also to understand the question is whether is it a bad thing? And I would say, no, it's not a bad thing. because you form a coalition basically to achieve a certain goal. And I think what we are seeing even now with some local authorities, we see that they are already type of a form of coalitions, although that they may not be working together in the true sense of the word, but they are already working, you know, they are represented in those local authorities and they are making changes. But I think the biggest problem that I see is that there is less focus on what needs to be done in terms of service delivery and more focus on who is doing what. And I think this is the problem. And this is why you see political parties are ending fighting each other instead of thinking about what are the ideas, what we need to do more to make sure that the people, the services reach the people. And I can give you an example. If you go out, and I will start with Windhoek. If you look at Windhoek, the refuse collection has become really a problem. For instance, I'll give you, I live in Comasdal, and in Comasdal, our refuse used to really go out like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Last week, it went out like 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, for instance. And then you have got water interruptions. You have got, you know, sometimes electrical interruptions. So these are service delivery issues. So how do you really make, how do political parties in a council really make sure that the services to the people is not compromised? And this is not only a situation that you see in Windhoek. If you look at towns like Wolfish Bay, if you look at Okahandja, the level of service delivery generally in Namibia is significantly declining. And I think this is also something that the candidates that are going to be elected into positions of power really need to think about this issue, how they are going to tackle it. And this is some of the questions that are also critically in the minds of the voters. How are these people going to make sure that we are going to get better access and better service delivery?
Yeah. Well, thank you on that note. And when I looked at when they analyzed what the president said, we did not pass any law since March other than budget. For me, it's a serious matter. If there were bills or things to be discussed that have effect on the people. But my whole concern is, are we sure we are done and we cannot speak to one another, back channels, as they say? Can't we have conversation behind the closed doors that, friends, we need to work together here. This is our country. We don't have a good majority. Why don't we work together? I wish we want to do it alone. This is the rhetoric question I ask. Why don't we have a better diplomatic? We want to speak with the international community. We want to have a diplomatic relations with the UK, with Germany, with America, the people who even supported apartheid, if you like. But we cannot have a diplomatic relations here on the local level and say, colleagues, those of us who have a bit of majority, it is our people. Can we really work hard and before you even bring your bills to parliament and so on, we have consulted widely with someone. And when you come, you make sure, let us talk, let's fine tune it. And when we go there, we make sure we have done a good job. And this thing of saying, I am the majority, I can just go there. Now, ministers who are members of the executive, some have got no voting, powers. And some people are absent and so on. Who to blame here? And the opposition party who have nothing to visit or to open that thing and groundbreaking here and there. They are always in parliament. Those are just an illustration I'm giving to say that when it comes to the local authorities, let us also employ diplomatic efforts to speak to one another for the sake of the people. Because this is what people have given us. You cannot say, oh, I can't speak to you This is the outcome of the election. This is what people decided. You must speak to one another. This is what the people have said. We give the IPC one vote, SWAPO one, AR one, PDM one, form a council, which means speak to one another. This is what people have said. People who have voted you 1111. This is what they have said. Now we have a problem. We still want to be on our own, and we don't want to speak to one another for the sake, for strategic reasons. We can't speak to one another. So it is very important to understand that good governance, rule of law, accountability, they are the principles on which a country can really boast that is a genuine democracy and community development. As we know that the problem of democracy with democracy has been that it is very popular. It is a popularity that has been threatened in terms of using meaningful concepts. And in being most universal regarded as a good thing, democracy is always a good thing because you have the majority rule. But sometimes it is no longer the majority. It is just polarization of votes. It is very good, but how do you make sure that you navigate until the next round of election? Because we need to know that meanings associated with democracy is to say it is the system or ruled by the people and disadvantaged. There must be people ruling, and what people have decided, we must obey, even if it means we have to be doing coalitions, because this is what people have said, and a form of government in which people rule themselves directly and continuously without the need of professional politicians or public officials. There are some people who think democracy in that way, but that's not how we do it in Namibia. There must be a representation in the Namibian context. And we don't talk so much of merit, as we have mentioned. We do not talk so much of technical knowledge and know-how, but it is democracy. We are given a demagogue to govern us. We just allow because it is a democracy. It is good, but the onus is also on us to make sure that democracy that does not deliver the worst. We must do as much as we can to give the best to democracy so that democracy can give us the best. In other words, choose the correct people, people who know, people who understand, people who are willing, people who are enthusiastic, who are qualified for the job. Give them to democracy so that democracy can deliver. Give them 5, 6, 7, then choose one. Irrespective of where that person comes from, for as long as the qualities are, and the commitment and dedication is there, then we can say, it doesn't matter. Namibia is full of people of quality, and this is really what we have. So, but then, in terms of democratic features, really that are very, very important is to say that democracy is a government in which power and civic responsibility are exercised by all adult citizens, especially we say 18 years and above in the Namibian context, directly or indirectly through elected representatives. And that's why we are concerned about elected. Elected by who? Election how? How do we make sure that we exploit this in a positive sense, that we get the best of our people and for the people? And again, democracy rests on the principle of majority rule, which means that the decisions are made by majority and must be accepted by all. But obviously the minority viewpoints must be respected and protected. And this is where I think we have issue. How do we reconcile the majority with the minority? You are a majority party in parliament. Let me not talk about social majority for now. I mean social majority issues. You are now the majority in local council. Majority in parliament, majority in local council. How about the minority? Or how about the society open and we don't have a clear majority? You will end up having some ways again to still navigate, because this is what election has delivered. And the genuineness and the credibility of election is when it delivers what it should, without any qualm, without any issues, without being taken to court or things like that. It's for as long as what people have done is what was proclaimed as a result, then democracy has worked. How do we make sure that then the minority, political minority, are also useful in terms of our democracy? How do we do that? At the local level, because this is the fear I have. How will we make sure the minority, the local level, are not just there to collect the sitting allowance? They are also there to make contribution. Very, very important, that one. And democracy is guided by all-powerful central governments, obviously. I mean, guard against all-powerful central governments. Decentralized government to the regions and to the local level. Why are we talking about regions and local level? Obviously, Namibia is not a federal state. Regions are not independent of the central government. So is local authorities. The question is, how are we utilizing the processes that we have to make sure that the programs, especially the national development programs, reflect the reality on the ground? I am not so sure, as I speak now, that these development programs really reflect the will of the people. Do we go to the people at the village, the local lady doing the basket under a tree, and ask them, what is it that want to happen in this constituency, in this village, in terms of health, in terms of education, in terms of social services, in terms of food, in terms of agriculture, in terms of animal farming and so on? What do you want us to do? Instead, we go there and talk to the headman, and we think we have spoken to the people. We did not speak to the women, to the youth, to observe children going their life, going to school, playing in the fields. Have we done so in terms of regional and local levels, understanding that your level must be accessible and responsive to the people as possible? This is the problem, and we need the type of leaders for the local authorities, for the regional authorities, who understand things like this. Otherwise, it will be business as usual. A councillor who is a councillor during the day and during the night is running his business and a cooker shop and farming and so on, despite the government remunerating them so fairly for the work that they are doing for the community. So these are the things I would like us just to brainstorm about as we go to elections in few days to come. Yes.
There is actually one more, I think I would argue is a critical point. Even if you are elected as a new councillor, you need to really make sure, because you, Reverend, you mentioned the governance, good governance and accountability. There is need to really familiarize yourself with your responsibility. What can you do? What can you not do? How much power do you have? And how, where does that power start and where does it end? Because if you take a critical analysis of the issues that local authorities are going through in Namibia, you will see that one of the stumbling blocks is a constant infighting, not only among the councillors themselves, but also among sometimes the councillors and the management. So the management, for instance, complaining about councillors interfering with our work and making it not possible for us to do our work, and issues being politicized and vice versa. So, but I think it's important for the people to know and understand and appreciate the level of their responsibilities, number one, where that level of responsibility starts and where does it end. What can you do and what can you not do? What does this one institution do and what does the other institution do? And I think this is important for to ensure that principles of good governance are observed, that also when you yourself as a counselor or as a manager are performing your work, you are able to follow processes and procedures according to the law in order for you to do justice to what is you are supposed to do. And then also in terms of accountability, it's important that the prospective councillors, suppose if you're elected now, understand the importance of accountability. Decisions are taken and decisions have consequences, not only to yourself, but to the institutions and to the people. Good decisions will have a positive income to the result to the masses, and bad decisions will always have negative consequences to the people. You are elected there to represent the people, and the people have expectations and they have put their trust into you that you are going to do justice to their expectations. So you are not the law unto yourself. You have people to account to. You have the public to account to. You have got institutions to account to. It's important for people to understand this. This is a host or a collective of issues that people need to really appreciate. You need to really get into the office and say that, wow, being elected as a councillor is a lot of responsibility, number one, and you are given a lot of power too. How you use that power and how you take that responsibility is really a call, a serious call for action.
Yeah, very true. And the reason why we are doing this in summary as we conclude our program is to say that we want you as voters to give us the best in terms of the choice that we are going to make. In terms of the choice that we are going to make, we need the best. Otherwise, if we have people who have no idea whatsoever, who have no idea in terms of what it means to be an elected official. Because by law, which I have also narrated in this program, the whole regional council's law, I have narrated it, that you have other staff members. You have the regional council, the management committee of the regional council, and you have the civil servants working in that regional council, starting with the chief regional officer and so on. How do you demonstrate leadership that is not going to spoil the flow of services to the people? Maybe through personality, avoiding personality issues, avoiding bad governance practices and administrative bad practices. How do you make sure that you are elected political official to give direction and to provide leadership? Because the chief regional officers, those are state employees to put government projects into implementation plan. And yours as a political leader is to make sure the environment, political and otherwise, is conducive so that the services really flow. Because at the end of the day, you will find that the chief regional office is afraid of the councillors because she or he feels if I do not behave well, I may lose my job. Because they can, politically, they can maneuver and frustrate this person, either resign or they force the person. And we have seen this, how the CEOs are very endangered species everywhere, in the parastatals, in the town councils, and also in the regional councils. These CEOs are in problems, whether you call them CEO or CRO and so on, or directors and so on. So this is one of the biggest problems, and thank you for bringing that you are a political leader, and make sure that you are a pipeline for the national leadership and political leadership to be intact, but your staff are the pipeline for the implementation. And you must make sure that your staff are satisfied as well. I am not so sure this is the case in any of our given ministries. Now, the principles of democracy, again, I mentioned here, was the citizen participation. Okay? This means that citizens are part and parcels of what happens in their society, in their community, in their country. Citizens, we mentioned, we started with citizens. So you cannot start programs like this with something else. You must start with the citizens. And here comes again the principles of modern democratic rule. How do you define modern democracy? Okay. We, of which we are part of. Active citizen participation. Not reactive, but active. Reactive is when something happens and then the communities complain. We don't want to complain later. We want to be actively involved. And the citizens are part of the decision-making process on matters that affect them. Communication is a two-way process. That must go to bottom to top, and also maybe top to bottom. There must be a communication relationship between the grassroots and those who are at the national level, and those who are at the national level must also be able to reach the grassroots. And you need experts and the processes and procedures that must be clear to make sure that the community is involved. When we talk of community citizens, citizens are not all going to be part of the political party. They are not all going to belong to a social group or, I mean, a civil society group. Let me put it that way. Some are just private citizens. And, as I said a long time ago, we used to hear, where were you? Who asked you to criticize us? And so on. Are citizens allowed to actively participate? Not just voting. Not just on the election day, but throughout. How do we encourage the citizens? Sports, youth, women, churches, what have you.
Participation, it's very important, of course, but participation means you have to be there. You have to actively participate. You have to take an action in order for you to be able to have an outcome. And you mentioned something that is very important. You mentioned communication, and this is also part of participation. And to put it mildly, this is something I really want to get to the people, is the fact that once you have elected next week, 26th of November, that is not the end. You have formed a relationship that is going to last for 5 years. Exactly. For as long as this elected official is in office, you are going to have a relationship. And that relationship is going to be defined by active participation. What does active participation entails? Active participation entails you going out to stand in the queue, voting for that person. Once that person is elected, you now communicating with the elected official to make sure that they know about your issues, that they have an update for you, that they take your issues to the relevant authorities, that they are able to know you, your conditions in which you live. So, and there are a number of things that you can do. You can write to your councillor, you can visit their offices, you can lobby them, you can communicate. And when we are talking about communication, we are talking about multi-level or multi-channels communication, writing, telephone, calling, and so on. And then, this is also important. The people should not always say that, no, we have elected the councillor, but he has not done anything for us. But what have you communicated? What efforts did you actually make? So it's basically the way you put it. It's a two-way traffic. And also the other thing too, it's an awareness. People need to understand that once you go to the councillor's office and the councillor is not there, there are officials in the councillor's office. You can leave your communication in the office. It doesn't mean that once a counselor is out of office, you are not able to leave your issues there. You can write, the people will respond to you. And remember also that most of the time, the counselors are on the road because they are really busy on the road, going from one place to the next. The constituencies are big. The issues are a lot. So this is what active participation entails. And it's also what active communication basically entails. And this will give you also, this relationship over the next 5 years will give you a good assessment tool to say that after 5 years, given what I have experienced over the next previous 5 years, I am now in a better position to evaluate and judge and assess to say whether I really want to continue with the current person or not. But if you just elect and you don't participate for the next 5 years, you don't have a relationship because you don't make an effort, you don't have good evaluation tools to basically base your decision on. So it's a relationship that has got a two-way benefit. You as a citizen, you will be able to get the outcome from your efforts in terms of the services or the information that you need. Sometimes it's not the physical or hard services that you need. It's just information for you to access certain services, for instance. So, yes, two-way traffic, active participation, yes.
Sure. And as we would like to open the line for those who would like to call in the program, I would like just to touch more on few things that I would like to have your views as well on. In terms of democracy, we talk of equality. This means equal before the law, or equity, as they say. All people are equal before the law. And equality of opportunity in the realization of individuals' capacities without regard to one's race, gender, or ethnic background, or religion, or whatsoever. What we need is the capacity, isn't it? A person who is able to do the work. And how do we also remove the prejudice that we are still prejudiced? In the Namibian context, I think the number one prejudice is our tribes. Number two is our social status. Number three is our gender. Number four is our religious affiliation and even political affiliation. How do we make sure that some of these things must go away? As I said, there are things that have gone away, and we thank God they are gone. The issue of where were you when we were talking, when we were fighting, that language is almost gone. Or who are you? Who sent you? That language is also disappearing, except there are still some people who are mocking others to be sent by someone. But how do we make sure that it is about equality? It's not about who sent who. It's about the person who is able to do the work. Equality doesn't necessarily mean if there are two men, there must be two women. It means when you are finding who is the best person, you must not be influenced by things other than, is this person able to do the work? Because if you bring in your religion, your gender, your political affiliation, your what, you may end up missing the best person just because you think this person is not from my tribe. And tribe in the Namibia context is becoming a very serious matter. We are so happy to be part of my tribe, to be part of my clan. We are so happy to be that. And if you find us narrating how our grandfathers were related to that and that and that, I'm on one group at the moment. And we are happy to speak about those long, long stories. And in a way, I am always conscious that I don't want, as much as I talk about these things, this thing must not infest my mind to think that I must concentrate on this thing. I must be a nationalist. I must still think this thing and contextualize it in a way that it's a Namibian story. It is not just a tribal story. How do we make sure that we get the proper candidates without prejudice?
Mm. It's a very good question. It also depends on who you are asking.
Yeah.
Ideally, you need to look at the right candidate based on merits.
Yeah.
What is a person able to really deliver? What can the person deliver? You need to give the candidate the benefit of the doubt based on the merits to say that, no, this candidate has merits. And this merits is based on, I can see that he or she is able to do A, B, C, because we have seen it. We have tried them. Like I indicated earlier in my conversation, I alluded to the fact that these are people from the community. The community knows them. And vice versa, the people know the community also. So they are able to judge each other. So they know the track record from the work they have done, from the association. And I think it's important, really, this is a very important conversation on the aspect of the tribe and the tribe versus the national agenda. I think we need to really, and I completely agree with you, we need to have a nationalistic approach to say that what are the kind of leaders that we need in order for our country to prosper, in order for our constituency to prosper. And I think that is important, because if you start looking at people and leadership based on criterias closely identified with issues of tribe, issues of gender, and so on, I don't think that will take us very far. And I think we have seen in other societies across the world, especially in Africa, once you start aligning within that level of argument, it doesn't really have a good outcome for countries. You need to be more nationalistic, driven by agenda. Remember, the Namibian Constitution talks about all people being equal. It also talks about opportunities for all Namibians.
Yeah.
And remember that our history is a difficult one. And the constitutions also allude again to the same issues that we went through as a country. And the prejudice, as you have alluded to them, have the potential to take the country backwards rather than forward. And I think this is something that I really actively want to encourage the citizens in this upcoming election to say that we need to judge people on what they are able to deliver on merits, on their messages, and on the qualities that are needed and that we want the kind of leaders to do for us.
Very good. And we have spoken about accountability already, and probably one question on the modern democratic modern day democratic rule is political tolerance, which in the Namibian context is much better, although we don't want to compare ourselves to other people because we have our own weaknesses too. Political tolerance and also transparency. These regular free and fair elections, we can debate if they are free, if they are fair, but there's a good level to agree that whether it is the process or simply the Namibian people, someone somewhere is well behaved. Maybe the process, maybe the people. I am not so sure here we can debate. But allow me to say tolerance is to give room for discussion, as we mentioned. I do not want to agree that coalitions are evil. Because if you say free and fair and credible election, I have another document that says whatever election outcome is, that is the decision of the people. And if that's the decision of the people, we must respect the decision of the people. Who should respect the decision of the people? Those of you who are elected, you now have to play accordingly. This is what the people decided. Unfortunately, we may not like it, but this is what they have delivered. So how do we make sure that we exhibit political tolerance, which the people themselves has given us? If to illustrate my point, SWAPO has 53, if my numbers are still correct, 53 members in the National Assembly voting, and the opposition party has 43 or 45, I'm not so sure. This is what people said. And they will not be surprised in the next round of election if we have 50-50. Okay? What does it mean? This is what people said. We must find ways to meet the democratic realities with our own new strategies as well, so that we don't just say that it must always be a two-third majority, always a two-third majority. Maybe it is not going to be like that. What strategies do we have so that we are mindful and respectful of the interests of all people, irrespective of where they are in terms of political ideology? And then the question of transparency. To be transparent, we need to be out there and we must be ready for public scrutiny. We still have some people who are allergic to public criticism. And unfortunately, we don't know the difference between critique and criticism, both of us. Some people critique, but their idea is to criticize and eventually to put you in a bad light. They are not there to critique you in order to build you up. They want to critique you to expose you that you are nothing. But you can also critique a person in a way that you are building up this person and you are molding them, you are making them good leaders. Now, how do we promote the principle of tolerance, political tolerance, and how do we make sure we are transparent, especially when we talk about information? Citizens are allowed to attend public meetings, and they must be free to obtain information in terms of what happens in public offices. When we were going through the regional council's law, some of the meetings must be open to the public, except in a few instances when they are talking about maybe private affairs of recruits or things like that. But for interviews, for instance, for a chief regional office or for something, these meetings must be open to the public. And I do not know how many people know that they should attend the council meeting here in the city of Windhoek or elsewhere, or they can attend parliament and see what's going on, and they can attend also management meetings of the town councils, actually the town councils and municipalities. Members of those communities can go, even to the regional councils, members of the community can go. How do we make sure that we are as much as possible transparent, so that we don't appear to be hiding things? Mm. How is transparency adding to the value of good democracy? But before we go there, I would like to call on the community and listeners to call in if you are able to. I know that sometimes this time of the day, everybody is knocking off and packing. They want to go. Please, 083-288-401, 083-288-401 is the number in studio. If you call in, we will give you the platform to speak. 083-288-8401. Please call in and let us hear your views, if you may. Otherwise, we will continue with the question of transparency and then the question of tolerance. Mm.
Thank you. Those are two important questions.
Welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon, Bishop Katenda, and I forgot the name of you.
Yeah, Dennis Daire.
Yes, Mr. Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Is it there at Total?
Huh?
Oh, Mr. Dennis, good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon. How are you?
Thank you very much for being there.
Okay.
And help us to understand civic duty. And many a time, our obligations maybe don't seem to be clear there, but yes, our rights and freedoms, so those are, most of the time are clearly thoughts or make people aware of those principles. But then The articles, all, I'm very, very happy that they cited a lot of articles there. And it's very important that the rule of law, as the entrenched into our constitution. When you look at the constitutionalism, you find, you know, those chapters and all these things, the statutory that are supporting the constitution. And also, we seem to be doing well in most of the areas. When you look at our legal instruments, are more aligned to international ones. So especially when it comes to the freedom of expression, when it comes to, even though people don't eat that, but perhaps they are also, their voices can be heard. And I don't know, the many other, the only responsibility that most of us, that maybe under the understanding there. So my engagement and listening, even when I attend your programs, those public lectures, especially when that those time when you know people used to Dr. Professor Disha and many of them, I used to attend a lot of those programs. Even now when I'm available, I do if I am away. But then you still find out that the people only embrace, not necessarily the rule of law, of course, but embrace their rights and freedom. And you even find confusion and misconception and misunderstanding, perhaps, that yes, those rights, they also have limitations. And you see, find people behaving unethical, no longer according to the rules of law, you know, and all these things. They create also issues. But when it comes to our legal instrument, when it comes to now the delivery of service like housing, water, now people are talking about G20 and G100. People are now on that side, and they are also, it's because of the law, the rules, the laws. So that should be responsive to the needs of our people. Even if the rules are there, the laws are there. That civic education focusing on our responsibility. What is it that we should do? Because it's not about only voting or maybe vote for change. Because when you now say vote for change, then what type of change? Are you creating conditions for, you know, for development, social development, and all these things to take place, or just for change? Because that concept, I think that word is
too broad.
it's not even broad. Change. Okay, you can specify.
Yeah, for me,
the areas where you want change,
yeah.
Maybe the area that have the potential to contribute more to the development.
Yes.
Change maybe the legal, the laws,
Uncle Bana, I'm saying, you were saying the concept change is too broad to say just vote for change. There are many changes.
It's very confusing.
It's not confusing.
Yes, because when you say change, the change just, okay, it's because to change this counselor, to change this leader, to change this, that's all the understanding I'm getting from outside. So, but then, it's okay, my conclusion is that, yes, it's true, it's very important, the civic education that we do get here, but I think we need also to emphasize as to how do we then translate this legal structure that are there, and those structures, social structures, or whatever that are there.
And those are the changes we are talking.
Specify. You are just changing because of
you gave us now the specifics. but thank you, Uncle Bwana, for your time. Thank you. Right. Change. When we say change, what do we mean? But nevertheless, the point we were talking about is political tolerance. Those are just a few things I mentioned, and also transparency in the whole process. How do we make sure that our people know and follow what's going on so that we don't give any hint that we are hiding some things.
Mm. I think it's touching on tolerance. I think it's important for people to understand that, especially when you give an example of an elected leader. If you are now an elected leader, you are standing in to be voted as a councillor. It's important to understand that you will be subjected to various forms of discriminations, critique, people criticizing your work, criticizing your statements, your ideas. But we need to understand critique and criticism.
Yeah.
Critique, I may critique your idea of, let's say, for example, water provision, or your idea on unemployment, or your solution you are proposing to unemployment or to water sustainability.
Mm.
Your idea is what I'm critiquing, but not yourself.
Not yourself. And I don't want to get rid of you.
We don't have an issue with you as a person. Very it's just your idea.
Yeah.
And this is what the people need to understand, that your ideas, your personality and so on is something else. We don't have any problem with it. But we are saying that the ideas you are putting forward or the ideas that are contained in your pamphlet are not adding value to the challenges that we have. And as a leader, it is now your responsibility as a candidate to convince us why you think your ideas are likely to solve our current problems.
Mm.
So these are not issues to take personally. These are just conversation that we need to have in order for us as a society to be able to evaluate and assess whether this is the right person. Because once you go into office, you are more likely to put your ideas into place. But as a society, we can see already that your ideas are not likely to give us an outcome that we want. So this is a conversation that we need to have. It's also important to understand that transparency as a concept, it entails that you as a leader, you'll have to do things in a manner that other people are able to follow, understand openly. So that means that decision-making, when you are taking decisions, you need to share with the people what kind of decisions did you take, what influenced your decision, how did you get to that decision, and what factors did you consider, what are the implications of your decisions, and what are the negative consequences of your decision, and how are you going to rescue? Or how are you going to make sure that your decision does not negatively impact other people? You need to holistically think about these issues. And when you do things, transparency, and this is where you give an example of the council meetings that have to be open in the public. Why? Because the public have interest. And this is what I also alluded to, that once you have elected your councillor, you are going to have a 5-year relationship, and you need to understand how the councillor is doing things in order for you to benefit from the decisions and also to understand the decisions. And please, it's important that the people, if you don't understand how things are working, also to ask. Honorable councillor or honorable member, how did you come to this conclusion? What influenced you? Because I want to understand, because for instance, as an example, we are the most affected, but you provided, for instance, water to those that are less affected.
Mm.
How did you arrive to that conclusion? Mm. Or usually in most of the times, there are reasons why decisions are taken. We need to make an effort to try and find out those reasons. And those reasons will actually will likely make us to make a proper judgment and influence the outcome of whether this decision to do that particular, why the decision was taken, makes sense or doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, thank you very much there. I would like, just as we move forward to the end of the program, we have only about 18, 16 minutes. If we just look at the history of elections, just a bit, just to compare the two elections, here I'm just saying, in 1989, these were the UN supervised elections, and these were only, National Assembly, isn't it?
National Assembly and presidential.
Did you really have presbyteria?
I know that is an argument. Yes, yeah. Yes.
But in 1992, we had then what we call the first regional councils and local authorities election. And the voter turnout for the regional councils election was 81% of the total registered voters. About 81.1% people turned out and voted. While in the local authorities election, it was 82% of people who were registered voters went out and voted. And I said this was the best time, I think, that we could think of going for elections. But then 2020, it was 36% of the total votes in the regional councils. Why?
I think my take on that would be the context. We have to provide the context, and the context is important. We have to understand that at the time of the 1989 elections, the context was very important. The background, the desire for people to really achieve independence, the circumstances. There was a lot of desire for freedom. Mm. That was so important. And also there was a lot of effort that was put into the encouraging the people to go out. And the same applies to the local authority elections. People wanted to, you know, participated because they had these expectations of wanting to really want better. But I think over the years, people became lenient for a number of reasons. One of them could be they have seen that, you know, maybe they have not gotten from the process what they expected from the leadership. In terms of, and I'm mentioning this very carefully because they have been voted the first time, and the leaders that were voted the first time, did they really do justice to the expectations of the people? Mm-hmm. Because that was critical in setting the tone. Thereafter, people could see that, well, what is the point for me to participate if my votes are not really have a meaning to the changes in my life? And then there is also an argument that is being made that people became too relaxed with democracy or elections. And there are also issues where people are saying that they have lost maybe trust in the process, that anything will change. There are quite a lot of reasons. But I should also mention the fact that people should not lose hope. Because if you lose out, if your candidate that you voted for did not make it, it doesn't mean that next time your candidate will not make it. Or if your candidate that you wanted, that you believe will have better chances of making changes in your life, didn't make it through, that is not the end. Mm. Election is every 5 years. Mm. And that means that should also be a motivation for you to work harder and to really come back to vote. But there is also something that I really want to add as an extension of the argument. And this is, people, we should not forget that once we have elected the representative in office, it's not only a question of expecting service delivery from them. We should also offer a support system. Mm-hmm. And this support system comes in many ways. Providing information as to where the challenges are, communicating in terms of how they can better our lives, because most of the times we know the solutions. It's just that, you know, a councillor who voted for a constituency, they will not have all the best solutions for all the residents. So we can offer that support system to say that we have information, we have ideas, we have views on how we can really assist to make sure that service delivery is really given to our constituency. So it's not only a question of saying that we should always be expecting. And I think this is also factoring into some of the comments by the last caller to say that it's not only about, demands, but it's also about rights, and rights come with responsibilities.
Very good. Yeah. And the last caller spoke about the question of change. Yes, the question of change is broad, as for him, he feels it's confusing. For me, it's not confusing. because change is inevitable. There will always be change. Sometimes change comes naturally. And when change comes, it's for us to be strategic to embrace change. As I have said, what we have now, it's an open society in terms of free flow of information. That change was not brought by anyone. That change just came. And we have to receive it and be strategic enough. But the change that is intentional we are talking about here is that every 5 years, as you have mentioned, we must keep that in the mind. Every 5 years, we are going to choose something. If you are a political party, you have the opportunity to change things from your party perspective. If you have a candidate A, whom you have supported to become a councillor for this constituency, and you think this person is not performing, you may not remove them in the middle of the term. You may, if you want. But you may also just start strategizing and say, hey, this councillor of ours is not performing. Let us change. That change is not from outside. That change is from yourself. But the citizens too have the right to change things, to say, we look at this party. For all these years, this party we gave the mandate. They gave us this council that was useless. They gave us another one was, they gave us this one was also, I don't now think the fourth or fifth council will be different. Let me try something else. This is what the change we are talking about. Otherwise, if we are doing elections and there is no change, what is the point of elections? Because genuine elections are the keystone in any democratic arc. They are related to essential building blocks, and democracy cannot be realized and maintained without such things. They are an expression of the democratic tenets that sovereignty resides in the people. That's why we start always with the people. When we come in this program, I always say the people. Because the people have got their, people have got the rights. Okay? And that the authority of government is derived from free exercise of the will, through universal, equal suffrage, free of unreasonable restrictions. We don't care what elections produce for as long as it was free, it was fair, it was credible, it was genuine. There were no restrictions whatsoever. And here is the porridge. Let's eat. We must eat that. Because this is what people have produced. We cannot do something. We cannot go. That's why I'm saying some of the changes is to say, maybe there was never a time in our history where people are so free to the point of the city of Windhoek and other municipality were forced into coalition. That is the change. How do we embrace that change? How do we say this is a positive change? Rather than just saying, we're supposed not to have a coalition. But this is what the election has produced. When the election has produced that, we must work hard. If I were a political animal, I were going to make sure that, hey, I must find a way to negotiate.
Yeah. I know that the last caller said, change is subjective.
Yeah.
But change is also good.
Yeah.
Change is good in the sense that it opens up new possibilities that you never had before. And we should also not forget that change is probably the only permanent thing. There will always be change. It's just how society is prepared to accept and deal with the realities of change. And I think one, if I can, I want to give you two examples. that we are seeing as a consequence of change. Number one is a strong participation of young people in politics in terms of being elected in positions of power. That is also change that has come.
Yeah.
And also the number of independent candidates that are now penetrating the political space. That was not the trend before. Mm. So these are new realities, but we just have to accept them.
Yeah.
But I think, and this is my argument, it's a process of how society is dealing with the change. Instead of saying that, no, previously the trend was that for older generation to be more participating and for the young people to be spectators. But now the young people are coming to the forefront. They are taking responsibility in the political space. And I think the role of society should be a supportive one to say that how can we support young people to succeed in their responsibility that they have taken over to lead society? And this is the support mechanism that society need to have in place, that once we have got young people now, how do we support them in terms of ideas, in terms of processes, in terms of sharing information, and to say that these are how you do things, or these are some of the ideas how you could do to improve things. And I think this is lacking. I think what we are seeing rather as a trend is that once someone has taken a position, you see that people are, you know, getting around you to try and chop the branch you are sitting on, which is really self-destructive, I would argue, because you are there not only representing yourself, you are representing the interest of the people. And if you are chopping the branch that I'm sitting on, it basically means you are cutting the legs of society.
Sure.
So I think this need to be the conversation, that how prepared is society for change? And number one is a question. And number two, how prepared is society to support the changes that is there?
Very true. So we have only 3 minutes, I think, to wrap up. But allow me just to pick some important notes here. It says, by their very nature, genuine elections are interlaced with a variety of processes, institutions, as well as the exercises of a range of rights and civic responsibilities. Genuine elections are also a means to resolve peacefully the competition for political office and the transition of power, as well as a vehicle for candidate and government accountability and for the selection of policy choices aimed at improving people's lives. And while genuine elections are ultimate expression of national sovereignty, they also are affected by transnational actions, if you like, or global developments, which gives them an international dimension. And that is why we must try as much as we can to make sure that our elections are up to standards. Because what we have seen in other countries, and some of these things we mentioned because they are in the media, where elections lead to violence, or where violence precede elections or post-election violence, we have seen it in some countries, then those elections' credibility and the genuineness are always put on the table for discussion. And for me, the fear will be all the 1.3 people who were registered as voters, or 1.4. I expect at least 85%, 90% of the voters to go out there and vote. But if we have like 30%, 40%, 30-something percent, worse than that, maybe under 30, for me, those elections are not very credible. They are not a reflection of the reality of what the people of Namibia want. And if people are disengaged, if you like, from participating in their civic responsibility, we have serious questions to ask ourselves as leaders, as political actors, so civil society, elders in the society. Why are our people disengaged and are not willing to participate in the democratic process of their country? And 2 minutes to the program, allow me to conclude that it has been a very enjoyable journey together, discussing these issues, elections, constitutions, laws, and it was a circle, And it was a good commitment, really, on the part of Konrad Adenauer Foundation. And we have had good feedback from people in terms of this program and what it could have achieved, making sure our people are following, they understand their rights, they understand their dignities, their privileges, their place in democracy, so that it is not a matter of coercion or by force or anything. It must be genuine democracy where people are really choosing the leaders of their own choice. And we hope the cooperation and future programs will be discovered as to what else can we do in preparation for the 2029 elections and 2030 elections, because it is our cup of tea, it's a circle, and we must always prepare ourselves for anything so that it's really, truly a democracy. My idea and my desire, Mr. Dennis, is our country to be truly democratic. And democracy must not be a curse. It must be something to be enjoyed, whatever it produces. And with that, we have come to the end of our program. And you will hear from us if we have something in store. And the program manager is here. It's a goodbye.